All right, how's everybody doing? It is America Unplugged right here on Rockfin. Hope everybody is doing well on AmericaUnplugged.com and anywhere you can find the greatest of podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Billy Ray Valentine, Billy the Kid, here with you today, returning. Thank you to Tony Atterburn, the wisest of all the wolves, for holding it down last week. All the guests that he had on, Kenzie and Zan. Is it?
Zan was on, yeah. Zan John.
Right. Just didn't want to butcher his name. And of course, the returning legendary Don Jeffries. Thank you for being here, sir. All right. Tony Atterburn, what's up? Tell the people something.
Well, it's great to be back and always a pleasure to guest host and have guests on. But this is the real deal. This is America Unplugged. The band is back together. I feel like the world is right, at least for a little bit, right, when we're doing this podcast. So great to be here, Billy.
And thank you, buddy. And the legendary Don Jeffries is back now. I'm going to turn it over to you, Don. Explain to the people what happened. The stage is yours. Thank you for coming back. We really appreciate having you here, you know, and we appreciate you as a person, everything you bring to the table. Thank you very much, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, that's very kind, Billy. Well, I'm glad to be back. And I experienced a tragedy that I certainly did not foresee coming. My brother, Ricky, who was closest in age to me, but he still was 8.5 years older, he died unexpectedly last week. He was on January 6th. He was apparently called 911. And I say apparently because when I was over there cleaning his apartment out, my wife and I were over there one of the times, one of the neighbors came up to me and just asked what happened. And I told him, and he said, well, he volunteered the information that the middle of the night, 2 to 3 a.m., there was a commotion in the hall. And my brother was out there arguing with the EMT people and saying he hadn't called them and he was okay. So you know, that just kind of threw a whole new monkey wrench in because I assumed it was his hypochondria that got him to call for, you know, claimed he had a fall and there was no evidence of injuries for the fall. But at any rate, he went in the hospital. And I was so devastated to hear that because I know what the hospital's been doing to people. And as soon as they got in, the first thing you get in the door, they give them that 90% false positive rate PCR test. And they got their COVID positive. He had no symptoms at all. Got their $13,000 bonus for it. So what happens, that means that because all hospitals, I think all of them, at least my area, they do, they have the policy of no visitors at all for COVID patients. So I couldn't see him at all the entire time he was in there. I couldn't track his progress. I talked to him some early on, didn't seem serious at all. Then they said he had COVID pneumonia. And I talked to two doctors and two nurses and told him absolutely no ventilator and absolutely no remdesivir. It wasn't until the 18th that I talked to another doctor and he told me that they had, against my wishes, had started giving him remdesivir on the 15th. Which just happened to be right about the exact time he really started spiraling downwards. And I didn't find out about the 18th. I stopped it, but I guess the damage had been done. And this doctor claimed my brother had consented to it, which was ridiculous. He'd told him all along, let my brother decide, and he couldn't even pronounce it. But at any rate, 2 days later, he died. And like I said, this is a tremendous shock. He was a very healthy 73-year-old. He had no debilitating diseases at all, incredibly healthy diet, very thin. It's just shocking to me. And, but so what I've been writing and talking about for 2 years has hit home in a personal way that I didn't anticipate or want, obviously, but it just has strengthened my resolve that, this is something that, these hospitals are murdering patients with remdesivir and ventilators. You know, I found out for the first time yesterday, people send me all kinds of information. I've been getting great response around the world, people responding to Ricky and giving me, you know, sympathy and just kind of support. But I had never known that remdesivir, when they were testing on animals, that over 50% of the animals in the labs died. That's just unbelievable to me that this thing was still approved. It's poison. I have no doubt that's probably what killed him. But however you look at it, we're left with the fact, and I know nobody else in my family is going to, they're just say COVID. And of course he wasn't vaccinated. So, you know, that when they saw a 73-year-old male unvaccinated, they fast tracked him to death. But so that's the way the rest of my family, pretty much with a few exceptions, my son, you know, is looking at this. And, you know, just terrible. And it was probably because he wasn't vaccinated. It's probably my fault because, you know, he believed me and all that. But I'm not buying that, obviously, one bit at all. I'm not changing my stance on this and anything. This has strengthened my belief that this is, you know, however you look at it. He went into that hospital with no symptoms, completely healthy. Nothing wrong with him at all for 73 years old. 2 weeks, he's dead. That says something not only about the code, but that says something about our medical industrial complex. But that's inexcusable. Should never happen, and it's happening to way too many people.
I thought that the story about you telling them not under no circumstances to use remdesivir, and then they did it anyway. And of course, I don't. Were you his caretaker, Don? Were you in any way legally his caretaker?
No, other than like I was his representative payee for Social Security disability. I mean, I signed all this, but I had no power of attorney or anything. So legally, there's nothing I can do. They can claim he consented. But he had told them early on, and when I was talking to them, they said, you know, your brother said to call you and ask you whether, you know, what to do about this. Because they wanted to give him a steroid or something. And but that would be the extent. That's the problem. There's really nothing I can do legally, although I will see, you know, if I find out I did a request and I was finally able to get someone to, Verizon is going to send me the phone logs of all his calls in January. So I don't know what I'll do if there wasn't a 911 call, because then that opens up a whole new can of worms. I mean, you know, it leads you down to the bottom of the rabbit hole. But at any rate, I want it for my own peace of mind to see that. But I don't, you know. Other than just continuing to expose what happened to him and the larger picture of what's happening to so many people, I don't know what else I can do, really, other than just try to illuminate. I can't bring him back, but, you know, just try to illuminate people and you know, enlighten them on what's going on.
You mentioned in the article, you mentioned about the neighbor that heard the commotion. I thought that was highly suspicious about had your brother supposedly having an argument with the EMTs about how he didn't call them.
Yeah.
Which is, I know it's straight out of like Hidden History. It's right out of one of your books. It breaks my heart because it's like, you're involved in it. You're intimately involved in this whole thing. And it still, goes the wrong way because of this medical industrial complex with their fetish for using the establishment drugs and not wanting to look at other research or data or and of course incentivizing the monetary incentives for diagnosis is criminal.
Absolutely.
The diagnosis and of course in the monetary incentives for ventilators and all that, this is, they have incentivized killing patients.
Right.
And
right.
You know, any sane person can see this from a mile away with what we've been through. And for you to see this up close and write about it, it's really important, Don. And I mean, this article needs to continue to be out there and people need to share it. It's up on donaldjeffries.media. I read it in its entirety yesterday on my show.
Thank you.
It's here on the channel, by the way.
It's on the channel. It's on America Unplugged. Yeah. So you can, I read the, so if you want to just the audio version, of course, it's not perfect. There's a couple of places I messed up in, but, you know, it was one of those things I got to read the whole thing because it's an important piece.
Well, I appreciate that. And also, you know, I tried to get ivermectin, get him to give him ivermectin. Of course, I was stonewalled. You know, I talked to several people. I could never figure out who the person was to talk to, but just everyone told me no ivermectin allowed at this facility. And you know,
wow, man.
I'm sure that's all hospitals around the area. So
that's right.
The problem is that, you know, And again, your hands are tied when you can't go in person, you know, when you can't visit them. And that's why I don't think it's any accident that they put that no visitors up, because they don't want people to see what's going on.
And so you should ask about the ivermectin and be like, so if I have river blindness, if I went to the Amazon and I've got a parasite, I can't use ivermectin. I can't use the Nobel Prize winning drug that cures this.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just not for COVID, because they that's a conspiracy theory. Yeah, I guess, you know, but I don't know if they would, you know, allow for anything else, but that's clearly they have a vested interest. You mentioned the monetary. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what they get, but apparently they get some kind of kickback for using remdesivir. We know they get the diagnosis money, $13,000, and they get something also for listing the cause of death as COVID. So they didn't get the $39,000 for ventilators in my brother's case, but they probably got a nice tidy sum.
Damn. You know, it breaks my heart to listen to this, to hear this and hear what, you know, I mean, they and historically now, as this has gone on, this pandemic, right, just out of my own experience here in New York, they don't let you do anything, you know, when it comes to loved ones. That's it. Once your relative or gets admitted into the hospital or a nursing home, that's it. They don't belong to you anymore. You know, that they literally belong to the system, and there's nothing you can do or say to change it. You know, you can't even visit. For a long time here in New York, you couldn't visit. I don't know if you can visit now, but for a long time, my stepfather was taken into he had a stroke. He was taken into a hospital and then a nursing home. We didn't see him for about 5 months. You know, we couldn't, we had no access to him. I mean, we can call him and hope for the best, but that's it. So anything that goes on, you know, is shielded from the family member, and Don just experienced that, unfortunately, man. And they don't take into account, you know, your wishes or anything that you've done. Like, hey, have a conversation about ivermectin, you know, and how it's helped people. Like, I've seen this myself. Otherwise, I don't know what I would say about it, but I've seen it. It's helped people, you know, people in the community that I know. You know, so I mean, what's the big deal at this point? If it works, use it. But they want to use their own protocols. They want to do their own thing, and nobody's held accountable when something like this happens. It breaks my heart, Don. I'm sorry that you're going through this. God bless your brother. Go ahead, Don.
I appreciate that, and it's what's getting me through is this is you know, kind of passionately talking about this even more now because it's hit home to me. Mm-hmm. Personally, but it's, and I can't thank all the people all over the world, the same people that get in touch with me about something I've written, who have given me and, you know, support and encouragement and sympathy, you know, for what happened. And Ricky now is known to a lot more people, and you know, these people, everyone, there's a lot of Rickys out there that this happened to, and they're all human beings. And they all, none of them deserve what happened. Just so a system occurs. And you know, I've had nurses and everything in my family, and I know what they think of me criticizing them for. I don't have a high opinion of, you know, and I talked about that in the article. I worked for a long time there. I saw the neglect even before COVID, but obviously it's gone into warp speed now, you know, with the warp speed vaccine that I'm sure that the nurses aren't conspiring to kill people. I don't think they, you know, they don't know what's going on. And they, you know, people, like in every field, they trust, first of all, they trust their education. They trust what they learn in school. So they think that's sacrosanct. That's the Bible to them. They trust their superiors. They trust the system. And the doctors, some of them are renegades, and probably all of them know maybe what's going on, but they're making a very lucrative living. So, you know, are they really going to rock the boat? And they probably see what happens to some of the others that do. So it's not a question of, you know, when people say, you know, you think it's a conspiracy. I don't think that they conspired and decided we're going to kill him.
Agreed.
But they're continuing. They don't factor in, you know, what a financial incentive it is to give that COVID diagnosis and the 90% failed you know, false positive rate, the very flawed, to put it kindly, PCR tests. And so, you know, these incentives have to be factored in. And something like remdesivir, when 50% of the lab animals died while it was testing, it should have never been approved. And you have tons and tons of documentation on how involved it is. But the fact they're still using this, and they used it for my brother and against my wishes, tells you all need to know that it is about greed. This is, you know, this, their financial incentives obviously supersede any concern for life.
Yes. And there's I think there's a affinity for the establishment in any type of these professions, especially when they've come up through it and they cling to it. They worship it in so many ways. It's a cult. I mean, if you look at the people that are being taken off heart transplant list and kidney transplant list because they don't want to take an experimental injection. I mean, do you think if we take a step back and take the politics out of it, that's insane. You know, the Hippocratic Oath, you know, based on Hippocrates, a first do no harm. We just completely abandoned that. I mean, maybe it was abandoned before this, but it's become more and more clear. And after reading your article yesterday, and I've been thinking more and more, my wife says it all the time. She's like, I'm not going back to a doctor. And I'm like, what if you, I mean, she's like, no, I'm just, and a witch doctor would be better, as you put it. And I'm really, and I'm one of those people that, you know, I'll get my yearly physical and get my blood work done. I don't know. I'm starting to think, does anybody know anything in those professions? And I, you know, I love my family doctor. He's a Vietnam vet. He's a nice guy. Of course, you know that there's still a lot of that establishment floating around in the medical field. And it's like we in alternative media are doing research and we're looking at all these other avenues. And then the medical profession puts it like one thing. You know, they're not doing, they can't see outside of their system. And it's like the, you know, the doctors who gave George Washington mercury, or the people that, the doctors that use leeches, like, you know, and then somebody came along and says, hey, you know, you should wash your hands before you do surgery. That's crazy, you know, but you know, the establishment always tries to guard, they're the gatekeepers. And this is becoming more, it's not just an establishment, it's a cult.
Absolutely.
You know, I want to liken this to the vaccine issue that we're having, right? Everybody's, there's so many people that don't want to take the vaccine, but they're forced to do it. I think there's a lot of similarities with what these healthcare workers have to go through. I think some of them just believe the narrative, right? And they do what they're taught, right? And they move forward with it and they think that's the way to go. But there's quite a bit of people that don't subscribe to that, right? That don't want to do that, but they're afraid to go against the grain. You know, they're afraid to express themselves because it puts their livelihood at risk, right? And and they just don't want to do it. So they're like in rock and a hard place too. So many of them, you know, because everything they've worked for years and years and years, just gets, you know, negated if they say something contrary to the popular narrative or to the accepted narrative that's been leaked through. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. That's what I said. I can understand, you know, it's when people see in society and anything, I mean, you look at Assange and Snowden and Manning and other, you see what happens to whistleblowers when they come forward in any industry. So something like this, where this is the, I call it the greatest PSYOP in the history of the world. And this is their biggest production and it's worldwide. I call it World War III. And, you know, it's, you got to have some real courage to come forward and protest this. And, you know, I see it, like I said, I see it within my own family. I mean, I was told, you know, hey, see, he wasn't vaccinated, basically inferring it was my fault. And that's the mindset of the sheeple. They look, well, okay, well, he wasn't vaccinated. And they don't question the fact that how do you go from completely healthy to dead in 2 weeks? All they have to do is say the magic word COVID. Oh, COVID, that explains it. And that's, you know, they're using this as a catch-all for everything. It makes no sense at all. It should never happen. And it's a, you know, it's a really indictment of the system.
Tony, you got anything to say?
Well, you think about the vaccine. I'll just say something. You know, this is the mainstream narrative has trained people's minds, you know, with the brainwashing of if you don't get the vaccine, then you're going to die, or you're going to get very sick, or you're going to transmit this to everyone. Well, you know, okay, so we're 700 days in of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I work with the public every single day. I never changed anything about my life. I own a gym. I own a gold and silver shop. I'm constantly handling cash. Oh, the dirty cash that comes from China. You know, all that stuff the back at the beginning of the scamdemic. Right. I've not had one respiratory illness. I mean, thank God. I mean, knock on wood. I take my vitamins. I say my prayers. I drink lots of water, get sunshine. I think it's mainly because my dog licks my nostrils. I got dog slobber. I think dog slobber is real colonial silver. I don't understand that logic. I mean, according to the mainstream, I should have died at least 10 times, or I should have been hospitalized, or, you know, had five lung transplants. But I'm fine. Right. And so this cult there will be in the future these same doctors in this medical establishment, and it won't be tomorrow, but it'll, on some timeline, if humanity proceeds, then this will be looked at as like we look at people who use mercury and leeches and bat, you know, this superstition and the Nuremberg type of experiments that have gone on in people and the brainwashing. This will be exposed. It won't be tomorrow, but it will be on a long enough timeline. And that's my prayer.
I agree, brother. I agree. I was in a house that was crawling with COVID, at least the two confirmed cases, and I didn't get sick. Right. It is what it is. Like, I mean, I just, according to the mainstream narrative and according to Joe Biden, I should have been dead several times already. Those are lies. These are lies. These are lies just built to get people to get vaccinated. That's all it is. This is all a big, what a disaster. And I'm sorry you've been affected by this, how you have done. This is just a complete disaster. And I wish you weren't going through it. I wish you still have had your brother, but
thank you.
I trust he's in a much better place right now and not having to deal with the nonsense that we're dealing with here, at this current point in time. What do you want to say, Don? What do you want to say about your brother before we transition to another?
No, you're right. I have to hope that he's in a better place, and I have faith he is. But I have to live with the fact that nobody else in my family may agree with me, except probably my son, that if he made the 911 call, and if he didn't, then I got a whole nother, even more paranoid things to consider. But if he had never entered the hospital, there's no question in my mind he'd be alive and well today. And that's what we need to consider, is that, that people, this is happening to so many people. And again, people are just, they're accepting it, but this is all part of this pandemic. They've accepted everything like they accepted all of the restrictions, the unconstitutional lockdown. This is all part of it. People are willing to accept this. I hope we can get some more gumption like we're seeing up in Canada. It's very heartened to see the truckers up there. So maybe at some point we can get our truckers down here to emulate them.
I think it might happen.
So. And hope so.
Let's see what's going on in the UK too. And they completely did away with everything. And Denmark also, right? They just said, no, we're not doing this stuff anymore. Yeah. And that gives us hope. I think the death of the American spirit was over advertised, right? This is not a thing. I think the American spirit still exists. I don't know what's the catalyst for it to come out, but it's happening. So I'll take it and move from there. And there's a lot of people standing up, a lot of people pushing back. And I think that there's a real possibility that the truckers will take an example from what's going on in Canada and do it here. And there's a real possibility that a lot of people will take that hope. Tony was talking about how a video did it for him to get him to allow him to get back into radio. He was watching a video of Rocking in the Free World that somebody had put together. And one little thing snapped, and he's like, yeah, I'm doing this. And I think that's what's going on in the minds of many here in the United States and in the hearts of many, not just in the United States, but around the world. They see actions of bravery, and that's true bravery, man. And they see that, and they're like, damn, maybe we should do the same, and I think a lot of people are doing that here in the United States. So I do have hope. I do have hope, yep. to see what can develop. Tony, do you think it's coming over here? Do you think we're gonna have a UK style? Hey, everything it's a wrap. You think we can do it here?
I think we can. I think the only reason it hasn't happened yet is because we have a very strong left-right paradigm. Right. The left-right paradigm keeps people neutralized. When this country, because they have parliamentary systems. In Canada and Great Britain,
yeah.
It's very hard to divide people down the middle, and that's the way they've done here. So it just kind of neutralizes both sides and say, well, I'm with team A, I'm with team B. And I think as the people start to realize that the entire establishment is against them, that the ruling class hates them, that they hate the country that they rule. And that I don't think that's over the top. I don't think that's hyperbolic at all. I mean, if they did, if the people that ruled this country loved it, then we'd have, you know, drivable roads. We'd have bridges that didn't collapse. We'd have airports that weren't 80 years behind. You know, we'd have a rail system. We wouldn't have the people robbing trains of Amazon packages. You know, you wouldn't have inflation just basically bankrupting and stealing from the American people every single minute of every single day. So that's what the ruling class does. And they're able to get away with it by having, you know, Orange Man and MAGA rallies. And then on the other side, you get AOC and Biden and all the rest. And it's just the path to nowhere with either left, right. So it's down the middle. And when people realize that, I think that's coming soon. People have less and less faith in the political parties. People talk about 2022 as some Republican sweep, and it's a yawn for me. I don't care. What does that mean to me? Does that mean that the restrictions will lift? Does that mean that we'll have less conflict overseas? I don't see any evidence of that. I don't see any of the evidence that there's some sweep in either party that something's going to be better in my life. And I don't think I'm alone.
I agree with you, Don. What are you thinking? You thinking that we're going to get some type of serious pushback over here and things will... I mean, not necessarily go back to normal. It'll never be normal around the world, but at least we can do away with some of the passports and the mask and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Perceptions are changing, but will the government be forced to do it? Go ahead.
I don't have a whole lot of confidence. I think that what this has shown is that although the whole world fell for this, it seems like the rest of the world, really, maybe Australia, but even Australia, they've had protests, but the rest of the world has gotten tired of this, and most Americans apparently haven't. As Tony said, the false left paradigm is, you know, basically the left, what calls itself the left now, which is a joke. They are digging their feet in, and they are embracing all this. They're embracing. I see them all the time say we should never take our masks off. They like this stuff. They love it. It doesn't matter how many variants come along and you try to explain to them, they can't test for Delta or Omicron. They can't prove it exists. They're just saying it's a variant, but there's no test where do you have Omicron? They don't know. They're just, oh, it's a new variant. But you try to tell them that, they just give you a look, you know, you don't trust science. Well, what kind of science is that? I mean, I could come out and say that, you know, this is the hoax variant. You know, I have just as much validity as anybody else, but it's nice to see what's happening in Canada. It's nice to see what's happening with, I guess, Great Britain seemed to have pressured Boris up there, you know, their own funny haired guy, you know, our contrast to Trump. But they got him to lift all that. So I don't know why it can't happen here, but it's not only because of the left-right paradigm, it's because the right is not strong enough on this issue. So you have leaders like Rand Paul and people like that who are good, but they're not strong enough, and this is ridiculous. These vaccines should have never been produced. They're warp speed, and maybe the Republicans aren't doing it because Donald Trump is still claiming credit for it. I don't know. But then why are the Democrats so betrothed to this vaccine that Donald Trump claims credit for? There's tons of questions about it. People, if they haven't woken up yet, I don't know if they ever will, but it's nice to see it's happening elsewhere in the world. So who knows? Maybe Americans will surprise me and we'll do something like that here.
No, you know, yeah, a lot of people have to win. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, well, it won't be through the ballot box. It'll be through people's actions. There'll be, you know, boycotting companies. Yeah. It'll be people moving. It'll be people going outside the system. It's, you know, in a peaceful, non-compliance way, the system will start to break down. And I don't know exactly what the catalyst was for the lifting of the mandates in Great Britain, but obviously Boris Johnson didn't read any of the simulations that were put into effect before all this. It doesn't seem like many of the leaders read anything. You know, Biden this week called, I think it was Steve Ducey, called him a stupid son of a bitch. I've heard that. And I thought about that story in Don's book, A Hidden History, about how they put a piece of President Kennedy's brain in a food processor. And I thought, well, that piece of Kennedy's brain is still smarter than Joe Biden. talking about inflation. So, you know, I think we've got a long way to go in this country before we reach any sort of lifting of massive mandates, because the Supreme Court, if you recall, was kind of a weird mixed bag. Like they didn't go through with the OSHA mandate for companies, but they said, hey, if you work in these critical medical areas, pretty much anybody receiving money from the government for Medicaid or Medicare, you have to get the experimental injection. So you're not completely back to square one, but you're not out of the woods, because that's a bizarre, it's still bizarre, it's still a bad example.
Right, man, right. I don't know, man. I don't know what to say about all this anymore. I really don't. I'm sitting there just thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, and I can't come to any rational conclusions as to why this is going on. And the left, right, and I hate putting it like this, but, you know, when you got the head of Pfizer on your show, I think it was on MSNBC. I think it was on MS freaking NBC, right? And he comes out and says, yeah, the first vaccine and the second one, they don't work. You know, you'll get little to no protection. They just don't work. And if you get the third one, you might get some protection. Maybe. We're working on another one. Let's see what happens. Yeah. Pretty much is what he said. You know, like, and I'm like, they're saying this on your platform. And the next moment, you turn around and say, well, you know, this is the best defense. You know, everybody needs to get vaccinated. It's the best defense we have. The guy who created it just told you that it doesn't work, right? Well, the CEO of the company that created this, the gangster class favorite vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, is telling you it doesn't work. He's telling you this. Doesn't seem to matter. Then they just turn around and do it. Like there's a infomercial here in New York with the head of something. I don't know. I'm going to find it and play it here next week, Lord willing. And he comes out. This is a medical official here in New York. And he says, I know that many of you who got the vaccine still came down with COVID-19, but this is still the best for whatever. I'm like, dude, really, bro? Like, I mean, it's money, I guess, right? I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
But I mean, when it's presented to you on one of the platforms that you deem credible, right? And you still don't subscribe, you still can't make the shift, right? Like Don said, they gotta dig in their feet. I don't know what we do to change that. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I think the establishment is Brokeback Mountain for the vaccine. they're gonna I can't seem to quit you. Even after everything falls apart, they'll take it all the way down to the bottom. And those of us are going to kind of just step back and watch, you know, hide and watch the establishment implode. And, you know, I've made several predictions on my program, and I think I've made them here too, that I think this is also a ritual in some ways to call out some of the current leaders and current people of the establishment and the celebrities, like put them out there as spokespeople and let them take the fall, and then somebody else will take their place. I mean, that's what it seems to me that the establishment does, because they run the simulations beforehand. What does this mean for us? And this is the great question. Billy said he's been thinking about it, and this is why this program exists, because we're just wargaming out, doing the what Nixon called the skull sessions that they would have, you know, with his smartest people. I'm looking at this and I wonder, what is the next move? I mean, the narrative is falling apart, but that we continue with so much of the draconian measures the corporations have adopted, you know, the vaccine mandates, and even companies like Carhartt, who are like down home, you know, country people, you know, like get your Carhartt. And then they're like, no, we, you know, everybody has to have a vax all the time, you know, and you're not. There's Don.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, that's, I think, one of the things we can do here on America Unplugged is look toward, like, this war game, all of this, with the data that we have, and where are we going? I've set several scenarios. None of them are really great if there is no grassroots response. If we don't start having these Canadian-type, you know, movements and protests, then the establishment will continue to accumulate more power. and press down with further with this narrative. But we'll see.
Right, man. And you know, the thing, and I wanted to talk about this before we got up out of here, right? These monkeys that escaped a train, I think. I don't know. Listen, man, I've seen this scenario many times. I watched The Planet of the Apes. You know, I watched Outbreak, right? I think that's the name of the movie. And this is the way it goes down. A monkey escapes. And I mean, how many of them escaped? How do we know that we got them all back? And you know, David Knight brought up a good question. Why did they euthanize the ones that they caught? Why are they sick? What's wrong with them? Clearly something is wrong with these monkeys, right? And they're out amongst the population. And, then some other weird virus is going to pop out of nowhere, you know, and then they're going to say, oh, it was from, you know, one of the forests here, some nonsense, a fish market in Seattle. They did this. It was them over there, you know, we can trace it back right to the monkeys. Probably this is what happens. This is what, and nothing happens to these people. You know, they create, you know, deadly bioweapons and, you know, put them in monkeys. You know, the monkeys are the bioweapons at this point. They don't take the proper precautions, and they're, you know, things happen, accidents happen. I know this, but, who's going to be held accountable for letting loose? I don't know how many monkeys that are running around now with God knows what, you know, infecting God knows whom with what with it. You know, it's a crazy situation. What do you think about the monkey situation running around in the United States, Tony Atterburn?
Well, you know, you could look at the movie 12 Monkeys, and you know, there was that myth around the 12 monkeys. And I think that we probably could call this 13 monkeys because we have monkey inflation at this point. The monkeys also, you know, the ones that if there was any that escape, we'll find out that our squirrels are racist and the generational wealth. I think this is another bizarre example. You know, we do hideous animal testing in this country still. Yeah. We do, again, it's an abomination, Nazi science type stuff. I mean, you look at what Fauci did to the beagles, you know, do we really need that? Is a medicine worth having if you have to kill and maim and torture and do all these terrible things? I mean, they're always coming up with some excuse for them to harm animals or experiment on, you know, especially on primates. And the lady said that came into contact with one of the monkeys, or at least was close, that she has like flu-like symptoms. I don't know, but I definitely think that the script writers deep within the recesses of Bilderberg that are coming up with these scenarios are just laughing right now, laughing in lizard, however that sounds. But they're cue the monkeys, and I think we're still going to have to deal with. I think the subconscious of the planet has been primed for outbreaks. You know, Billy mentioned that 1990s Dustin Hoffman movie Outbreak, you know, and if you remember that scenario, like our scientists deep in the military had the serum, you know, for this Ebola type, airborne virus, and they were going to nuke the town. I mean, it's just all the movie, was it Contagion? The same kind of thing, same scenario, right? Where you know they're going to come up with a vaccine. The vaccine saves everybody, and if you don't have the vaccine, then you're not cured. We've been primed for this. I don't know if some of these things are planned out or what, but definitely interesting.
No, absolutely. What's up, Don? What are you thinking about the monkeys?
Yeah, well, it is a it sounds like something out of Weekly World News, but. It's obviously they responded. That's the, you know, just like when the establishment covers something up or, you know, destroys evidence, obviously the logical inference is that they're culpable in some way here. You know, why are you, especially as careful with the animal rights group and everything, why are you euthanizing these monkeys if they didn't have some kind of contagious disease or something going on, or you didn't maybe weaponize them into, who knows what, maybe Planet of the Apes type things. I mean, I don't put anything past our Frankenstein type researchers. And we know, you know, they used to make fun of Alex Jones years ago when he used to talk about that scientists were trying to, you know, mate human genes with sheep and goats and all these kind of, and they've now produced pictures. I don't know if they're real. Apparently they really are trying to do this crazy stuff. So who knows what they might be doing with monkeys. I don't trust anything that goes on in those laboratories. And as Tony points out, they certainly don't care about the animals, or, you know, 50%, more than 50% of the animals died during the testing for the deadly remdesivir. That didn't stop them from approving it. So, and I don't know what we're getting out of all this testing. What, you know, you're not getting cures for diseases. You're not getting longevity. The average lifespan in the United States is dropping now. It's probably going to keep dropping further. So we've got to stop trusting. The last people in the world we should be trusting is science, especially medical science. Scientists are, you know, just as messed up in a different way as the televangelists that are begging for your money. At least they're being upfront about it. You know, give me your money. I don't know what the scientists are doing, but they're incredibly dishonest. And the televangelists don't have the power to kill you as the scientific world does. So yeah, people ought to scrutinize these things. They ought to ask questions. Tucker Carlson had a guest on there. He was asking at least some questions about, but then because it's monkeys, you kind of almost becomes a humorous thing. It gets lost up in, you know, and people start laughing about it. But yeah, it's a very curious event, to say the least.
Well, it's all fun and games until monkeys take over the world. We're getting up out of here. Mr. Tony Atterburn, tell the people where they can find you.
I'm all for monkeys taking over, by the way. they would do a much better job. You can find me right here on rockfin.com on the America Unplugged channel, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central Time for my radio show. And, of course, here every Saturday with you and the legendary Don Jeffries. And I want to tell Don, you know, had issues with your blood family on this vaccine and your writing and all the research that you're doing. But, you know, we're here. We're also your family, and we care deeply about
it. Appreciate that.
And you're an American treasure, sir. I just want to make sure. I want to put that on the public record. And we're always going to have your back.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. And I've certainly heard a lot more from my extended family like you than I have from my actual family over this. And I know a lot of it is because of how he died and what, you know, what I've written about it and everything. But I hope to next week, and I'll contact you about that, Tony, get back to doing high protest here and on aftermath.fm. I'm still doing the Donald Jeffries show. I did one devoted to my brother the other night, Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on the ocelli.com. And of course, the archives air here at rents.com and elsewhere. My new book on borrowed fame is out there. So hopefully people check that out. Again, I'm pretty easy to find.
All right. My name is Billy Ray Valentine. We're getting a body tuning in. Very happy to have Don back, and always happy to have Mr. Tony Atterburn here. And to all our extended family, peace, man. Take it easy. What's up? What's this? Raybo's Ghost? Right? Is it? Am I saying that right? Yeah, Raybo's Ghost. What's going on, buddy? How are you? And what's up, Gammy and everybody else? Hope everybody's doing well. And everybody that subscribes to the podcast, man, please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Go over there, subscribe and share it. Give us a 5-star rating. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much, everybody that's listening to whatever we do independently or collectively. Thank you. We appreciate it. We have stuff coming down the pike, so please stay tuned. Take it easy now. Bye-bye.